Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. Friends, welcome to WGOD Radio, where God is always broadcasting. Thank you for tuning in here today to His frequency. You're going to hear something now. Here we are this Christmas season. Christmas is Saturday, Christmas Eve. Our church is going to have a service, a candlelight Christmas Eve service at 5:30 p.m. on Friday evening. You're invited. Love to see you Friday at 5:30. If you're free and not doing anything, why don't you come by and worship with us? I think you'll enjoy yourself. Here today, part two of this message I just started on Friday, the Magi meet the Messiah. Let's go right there. 69 weeks later, or 483 years, accounting for that there's no such thing as the year zero, adding all the adjustments for leap years, we have been taken to March the 29th, 33 AD, which is the day that Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem. Amen. What a God that we serve. And to verify it, in one of the few times I could ever find in this book, he gives you the day that this happens. How many other times have you read a description of a king's reign that breaks it down like that to what day it was? See, they know, history knows, atheists know when Artaxerxes became the king. Everyone, it's not even up for dispute. Atheists know it. March the 4th, 444 B.C., see, now, but that was for his death, or that was when Jesus was recognized by the people as the Messiah. It was on that day. Now, follow me here. Daniel is their hero. Daniel is their Randolph Scott. Look it up later, see what it means. So certainly some 5 or 10 years B.C., during their watch, you see, they're watching. All right, they got the day that he's going to be made. He's going to be acknowledged as Messiah. So certainly, a couple years before that, they're watching. They believe everything that Daniel said. Daniel said, "This is Daniel gives us the day. Once the command is made." They don't even know who's going to give the. Maybe he's going to give it. Maybe my grandmother's going to give it. Who knows? Once the command is given, then you'll know. And you count 483 years from that day, and you can bet your sweet bippy you're going to run into the Messiah. Now, a couple years before that, they're watching. Maybe their calendars are a little bit different than ours, and they were different. A Jewish calendar only had 30 days on it. A Jewish calendar had no leap year. They added an extra month however many years. They added a whole nother month instead of a leap year. So you could be off a little. Years before that, they're looking. They know he's coming. Their hero, Daniel, told them is coming and gives them the day. Gives them the day. Once this happens, once someone in authority gives the command to build up these walls, start looking. Everyone with me? Now, Matthew chapter 2. Now, you good people here are loaded for bear, you see. You know the history behind it. This wasn't just a casual meeting of three guys that stumbled into town. There's more to this than that. Matthew chapter 2. The heading in my Bible, the visit of the Magi. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came Magi from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that was born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east,
and are come to worship him. All right, so God made Daniel's vision plain to see for the Magi by a star. But they were looking for him. How about you? Maybe you say, well, he's already come. Well, I'll tell you what, Hebrews 9:28 says he's coming a second time. Apart from sin. Man, he's not coming here to save you. He's not going to die again. They're not going to pull out his beard anymore. He's coming a second time. Apart from sin, to all of them, that's you, that look for him. Just like these Magi. They come to town looking for him. He's coming back again to town. To all of you, everyone out here that's looking for him and looking for his return. This really is my Christmas Eve sermon. That's who he's coming back. Some translations say in Hebrews 9:28, he's coming a second time. To all of you that eagerly await him. Do you guys got kids in Oregon? Remember how it is on Christmas Eve? Remember? The excitement in the air on Christmas Eve. See, when I was a kid, we opened our presents on Christmas Eve. They'd make all of us go upstairs. My dad would ring his bells down there. And man, I couldn't take it. Christmas Eve. That's who he's looking for when he comes back. To all of you and me and all of us who eagerly await his return, that's who he's coming back for the next time. Does that describe you? I hope so. Because remember, after he comes back, he shuts the door too. That's why Jesus said, strive to enter into the narrow gate, because many, I say to you, will try to get in, but will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, then you will begin to knock and say, Lord, 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 open up. I'm ready now. I'm going to listen to my husband or my wife. Or my mother, I'm ready now. And he's going to say, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. I came back and you weren't looking for me. We need to be like these Magi and be looking for his return. You look for his return by how you live. You worship him by how you live. You worship him by what you do. You worship him by how much money you put in that offering plate. You worship him by what you don't do. And that's the Lord's part of this. I don't have any of that written down. That's the scary part. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi came from the east, saying, where is he that was born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east. We have come to worship him. Now, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Yeah, right, all of Jerusalem. You mean all the evil in Jerusalem? How about all these people waiting for 2,000 years? No, they were in trouble. It's all those that were afraid he was going to come and not clean and drain the swamp, but drain the Dead Sea. Those are the ones that were troubled. Certainly not those that were looking for him. We know when Jesus comes back, it says, behold, he's coming with the clouds, Revelation 1:7 says. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail because of him. Even so, meaning when he says even so, I'm sorry, but this is the truth. When Jesus comes back, most people on this earth are going to wail, not praise God. They're going to beat their breasts in anguish. Revelation 1:7. Read it in the Bible. That's not me. I'm just preaching it to you so that you can see the state of the mind when Jesus comes back. Half the church won't be looking for him. Everyone else is going to wail when he comes back. Where do you stand? Hopefully not in any one of those two groups. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. People always fear when someone new is going to come along and clean house. Good Lord, look at the country's government the last 4 years. You know, say what you will about Donald Trump. You can hate him or love him. It doesn't matter. But when the threat of someone that's going to come in here and clean house, this is what happens. People lie, cheat, and steal, and hate, and murder people, whether you're JFK or Donald Trump. Someone who threatens the status quo and is going to clean house and get rid of this old swamp. The threat of Jesus comes here. It says all of Jerusalem was troubled. Oh, no, it wasn't. Not to contradict the Bible writers. I know what he meant. He meant all the evil people in Jerusalem were troubled. All the rich in Jerusalem were troubled. All those that didn't want to give up their nice place that they have were troubled. Those that were looking for a savior and a redeemer, you'll find them down the street here on Jerusalem and Vine with the angels. Glory to God in the highest, right? Where do you stand today? What group do you fit in? Are you with the angels down the street here and the shepherds giving glory to God? Or are you over here in Jerusalem troubled? Oh, drat, here comes the Messiah. Gonna save us all from our sins. Golly gee. Come on, people. Okay. If that's your response, guess what? You've been deceived. You can't get there on your own, friend. My signature on my email, if I write you an email, it says, if you're offended that God loves you, you've been deceived by somebody that hates you. Are you angry Jesus is coming back to save you? People are, and I just want to show you, if you are, you've been deceived into getting there. Someone has snowed you. The great deceiver that deceiveth all them that dwell on the earth. He's snowed you into thinking that. The charge over humanity is that Jesus Christ loves you. And that he loves you so much that he died on the cross for you. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. That should make you rejoice. That should bring us all like the other Bible story you read about in Luke. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That should be the response. Not these here. All of Jerusalem is troubled. Verse 4. Now when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded, this is Herod the Great, he demanded where the Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that will rule my people Israel. You know, that's my favorite prophecy in all the Bible. Let me quote this from my Greek Septuagint Old Testament, written in 300 B.C. Remember that. 300 B.C. Actually, more about 285, if you want to get technical. This is from the Greek Septuagint Old Testament, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And you, Bethlehem, house of Ephrathah, are few in number among the thousands in Judah, yet out of you, that is out of Bethlehem, 300 years after King David lived and died. So don't say snidely he's talking about David, because David's already gone. He's talking about someone else. That's going to come out of Bethlehem. Amen. Out of you, Bethlehem, Though you're few in number among all the tribes of Judah, yet out of you will come forth to me one to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth were from the beginning, even from eternity. So all I can say to that is calling all agnostics. Hello? Any agnostics in the house? Anybody? All this is written and in the library of Alexandria, Egypt, in the year 250. How do I know that? Because the king of Egypt ordered the translation to be made. King Philadelphus, in 285, commissioned them to put the Hebrew scriptures in the Greek because no one spoke Hebrew anymore. So in the greatest library in the world, 250 years before anyone ever heard of Jesus Christ, it's written in here, you'll know your king. He's going to come out of you, out of Bethlehem, and he's never been born, and he has no beginning. Hallelujah. How many people fit that bill? And you call yourself an agnostic? Stop into my office, let's talk. You will not be an agnostic when you leave my office. You will be a believer, and your name will be written in the book of life, or you'll be a fool. You'll be like everyone else, troubled. Oh, drat, here comes that Messiah again. Either one of the two. And you'll wail when he comes back, or you'll rejoice when he comes back. Which one are you? I hate it when I hear the word agnostic. You know what the word gnosis means in the Bible? For those of you that don't know me, I speak Greek. I'm a Bible translator. The word gnosis means knowledge. So if you put A in front of that, agnosis, it means no knowledge, or it means stupid. I mean, for those watching on Facebook, or you, would you, it's like wearing a shirt that goes, I'm with stupid, and the arrow's pointing up at your own chin. Who would wear a shirt like that? Who would wear a shirt that says, I'm with stupid, pointing at yourself? Here's a book that's been in a library 300 years before Jesus came and said the Messiah, when he comes, is going to have no beginning and no ending. And he's existed in this world since long before there was a world. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So don't call yourself an agnostic. You just refuse to bow the knee to the Son of God and admit you are a sinner. That's the truth. But don't tell me you're not sure. Because after you get through this, you'll be sure, all right. So that old fox Herod ascertains about this, and the scribes knew this verse. They're the ones that quoted it. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily or secretly called the Magi, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again so that I may come and worship him also. Oh, what a bunch of evil lies is that? Let me know where he is so I can come and bow the knee to him too. You see, like all of Satan's people, they are habitual liars. Satan's people are liars. John 8:44. You were of your father, the devil. He's been a liar from the beginning, he said. This is what Jesus said. When all you do is lie, when lie is second nature to you. Now, get me here. Not someone who's lied. That's a noun. But when the adjective describes you, a liar, like a drunkard, or a slanderer, or a reviler, or homosexual, when these things describe you, that's who you are, you'll never see the inside of heaven. But anyone at any time could have committed any one of these sins. Lying. Everyone in this church has lied. But thank God, praise be to God, there's forgiveness for that today at the cross. This is why it's so important what he did. This is why the blood is so important. This is why Holy Communion is so important. Because Jesus can even save to the uttermost me and all of you. Praise God, no matter what you've done, there's nothing that you have done that the Son of God cannot and will not forgive you of this morning. No matter what it is. And we're grateful for that. We're not like these in Jerusalem that are troubled because the Messiah is coming. We're like everyone else that's going to shout and rejoice because the Messiah is coming. So, verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I bet they thought of Daniel for a moment. After all those years, the man of God was right the whole time. They knew it. They knew Daniel was right. Vindication once again comes to the great prophet, who all those years ago said to the day when he was going to be crowned king. And he was right. 536 years earlier, he was right. The man of God, Daniel, told them that the Messiah was coming. And these guys exceedingly rejoiced. And all they wanted to do was worship. Worship the Messiah. How about you? Will that be your desire as well? Is it your desire now to worship the king like these magi? You worship a king by what you do. You worship a king by how you live your life. You worship the king by how you give. Now check this out, verse 11. Now when they had come into the house, they saw the young child. Now, you know, some of these Christmas stories, you think this happened in the manger, and he's older now. This isn't a manger scene story. He's a young child now. Catch that. When they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. He's in a house now. They saw the young child was with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, Greek word chrysos, is a gift fit for a king. Frankincense, or the Greek word libanos, is incense as a symbol of deity. And myrrh, or Greek word for myrrh, Smyrna, like the city in the book of Revelation. Amongst other things, the word means to be crushed. It also is an embalming oil with a sweet, sweet smell to it. Used as a symbol of death. Origen, the church father, explained it. He said, gold as to a king, myrrh as to one who is mortal, and incense as to a god. And that was the day the Magi met the Messiah. Ron, I'm going to ask you to cue up that song here. Now let's go out here this morning with a very appropriate song, Christmas song, which I think will fit the sermon pretty well here this morning.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
In a one-bedroom apartment on the humble side of town, there stands a little Christmas tree. It looks a lot like Charlie Brown's. and underneath there's one little gift for him.